Everybody turn in your Bible to Mark chapter 2. We're going to just jump in it. Mark chapter 2. If you got your Bible, turn to it. If you got your iPhone, turn to it. If you got your Android phone, turn to it. If you're Santa Clara, you got the one Windows phone in the state of Hawaii. If you got your tablet, turn to it. If you got your iPad, turn to it. If you don't have any of that at all, it's okay. We got you covered. We got it on the screen coming up. Mark chapter 2. Everybody stand up with me for a second as we read this. Mark chapter 2. Everybody there? Jesus is at the beginning of his ministry. He's walking all around Galilee. Early part of Jesus' ministry, the first half of his ministry, was centered in Galilee, which was in the northern part of Israel. And then the second part of his ministry, it moved down to Jerusalem. As he became closer to his call, his destiny, he moved closer and closer to it. But geographically, he started in Galilee. That's where he grew up. God's not expecting you to jump to everything that he's destined for you in one moment. He'll start you where you are. And then he'll move you and position you as time comes. So never regret where you are. He just wants you to start where you are. Mark chapter 2, it says, "And again he, Jesus, entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together so that there were no longer any room to receive them, not even the door, and he preached the word to them." Something happens when people hear that Jesus is in the house. They just flock. They want to get a piece of it. "Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men." Four crazy friends. We're going to talk about four crazy friends today. "And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they said, 'Oh, well,' and went back home." Is that what that says? "When they could not come near him because of the crowd," we're going to talk about the crowd a little bit, "they uncovered the roof where he was." They some crazy folk. God is looking for some crazy folk that just ain't going to take no for an answer. "So when they had broken through," everybody said broken through. "When they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith," not the faith of the paralyzed guy, when he saw the faith of four crazy friends who wouldn't take no for an answer and said, "I don't care if you can't get to Jesus, if you don't even know you need Jesus. I know you need Jesus, and I'm not going to stop at nothing till you get there." When Jesus saw their faith of some crazy folk, he looked at the paralyzed man and said, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." The real issue of life is not what's on outside of you afflicting you. It's what's on the inside. "And some of the scribes were sitting there," the Pharisees, "sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, 'Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?'" They knew that there was a man saying, you know, it's crazy that there were people out there that memorized every word of the Torah. They memorized every word of the scripture. And then they looked Jesus in the face and they couldn't recognize him. "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" They thought he was just a man. "But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit, they reasoned this way within themselves. He said to them, 'Why do you reason about these things in your heart? Which is easier to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take your bed and walk?'" What is easier to say? When I say your sins are forgiven you, that's easy to say because you can't see that change. And you think that's something that I said that? Well, let me show you something that's going to really knock your socks off. "Arise, take your bed and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house." He said, I'm going to heal you, and this is how you're going to know. I want you to pick up and take up the thing that brought you in, the thing that carried you, I want you to pick up and carry out. Real healing is when you can carry the things that have carried you. Immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that they were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Father, this morning, God, I pray that you would change our lives even more than you've changed it already. We don't want to be hearers of the word. We want to be doers of the word. God, I pray we just wouldn't hear what you have to say to us this morning and then go home and not live it out, God. But I pray that you would, that we would have the conviction to live it out. Because the blessing is in the doing of the word and not the hearing only, God. And we want to walk as blessed men. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Jesus, in his early ministry, lived in Capernaum. Capernaum was a very important city. It was the city where Peter and Andrew were from. And Jesus' early ministry was based out of Galilee, but it was based out of the city of Capernaum. And Capernaum is in the northernmost side of Israel. It was on the north side of the Sea of Galilee, and the Sea of Galilee was way up there. And Jesus would stay there. He would center his home base out of there. They would always come back to Capernaum in those days. And Peter, they would stay at Peter's house. And as Jesus began to, his ministry began to grow, as people began to hear his teaching and to see the things that he did, they were attracted to it because he wasn't like everybody else. They would go hear him speak, and it didn't sound like all the other rabbis and teachers of his day. He would go hear him speak, and it sounded different. It was a different thing. Different things were happening. It was a different sound. They heard power and anointing behind him, and they said, "I got to know what this man's about." Even his haters came to hear him. So he comes back to Capernaum, and everybody hears that he's back in town. So everyone gathers at his house. And it's so full, it was packed out. That nobody else could get in. And then there comes these four crazy guys. I love crazy folk. People come and go, you know, God's house folk, they're kind of crazy. I'm like, good. I like crazy folk. I like people who are crazy about Jesus. Amen. You don't really care about anything else. You're just crazy about Jesus. But they look and they say, "My friend, he doesn't need to hear Jesus. He doesn't need to hear good stuff. He is paralyzed. He can't move. He can't go anywhere. He's paralyzed by his situation, his affliction. He can't get there by himself. And left to himself, he would never be able to get to Jesus." There are people in your life that you're around every day, whether it's work, whether it's school, whether it's in your own family or it's your friendships. There are people around you every day, and they are looking for Jesus. They don't know it yet. They don't know it. They just know that there's something missing. And they don't know it, but they can't get there. They've been living in their circumstance for so long. They've been living in their life for so long. They've been told that they're nothing for so long. They've been hurt by people for so long. They've been overlooked by their job for so long. They've been bullied by kids at school for so long that they no longer have the ability to go out and seek and search him and find God for themselves. And see, this is what church folk tend to do. We tend to see that and we go, we either don't say nothing, or we go, "You know what? I want to invite you to church. I want you to come to church." And they go, "Well, you know, I'm working a lot. I don't have a ride. Maybe." Not because they don't want to. They just don't know. And we just go, "Okay, well, that's cool." But God is looking for some crazy folk. And these four guys were kind of crazy. They were like, "I don't really care that you can't get there. If you can't get there, I'm going to get you there. I'll pick you up and I'll carry you. I'll put you on my shoulders. And I'll take you. But see, a lot of us are bringers. A lot of us are bringers. We'll bring folk to church. But these guys got there and there was a crowd already gathered there and they were already pressing in. And they could, you know, it's really crazy how the crowd, we talk about this almost every week. Almost every story you read about Jesus, it was Jesus there surrounded by a crowd. And then there was individuals. There were individuals who were trying to get to Jesus or they needed Jesus. They were hungry for him. They were trying to get to him. And the crowd was always the obstacle for them trying to get to him. There's always going to be a crowd. This is kind of what church looks like. There's always going to be a crowd who just want to get around Jesus. They want to get around church. They want to get around the things of God on Sunday morning. They want to come sing their three songs, have offering, hear the message, go home, and eat their fried chicken and watch their football. And as soon as somebody comes who's hungry for God, who's hungry for Christ, that God would stop the whole service. There are church folk that would be really mad that we just spent 20 minutes praying for people at the altar during worship. They would say, that ain't altar call time. That's what. Well, why don't you just get on with it? It's time to go. I got to go. I got to. Hey, I left my roast in the crock pot. I got to go check on it. God, I told you I gave you my life, but really all I gave you was 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock on Sunday, and you're kind of pressing up against your time. We're like a crowd. So fickle, so easy. That crowd that crowded in to see Jesus 3 years later, we're saying crucify him. We're so fickle. The crowd is fickle. As soon as Jesus does, as soon as one church person doesn't say hi to you, then you just leave church. Whether it was Zacchaeus having to climb up a tree because he couldn't see over the crowd, whether it was blind Bartimaeus having to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me, because they couldn't hear him over the sound of the crowd, whether it was the woman with the issue of blood crawling on her hands and feet, just barely saying, if I can just touch the hem, the bottom of his garment, because people, the crowd was pressing in, kicking her, pushing her down. The crowd was always in the way. But then there's these four crazy guys. And while the entire crowd was just looking out for themselves, just trying to get a piece of Jesus, just so they could hear him. They didn't even really want to know him. They just wanted to hear him. There were four crazy guys that said, I'll do whatever it takes to get to you. I don't want to see Jesus. I want to touch him. I want to feel. I want to hold him. I won't stop until I get him. And they come up against the crowd. And they're pressed in so much that they couldn't get in. I want you to picture this. They're not just four guys who just went to a Jesus freak, like a Newsboys concert. And they're like, okay, just follow me. We'll press through the crowd and follow me. They are carrying a man on a stretcher. They probably carried him a little bit. Probably tired. I think it would have been perfectly understandable if they would have said, maybe we'll come back. He's always here in Capernaum. We'll just wait for another day. Desperate people don't really care about waiting for another day. You say today's the day. I want to know if there's somebody who just says today's the day. I'm not going to wait another minute. Now, in those days, rich folk had staircases that would go up to a second level. Peter was a fisherman. His father was a fisherman. They weren't the wealthiest people. And they had to get that stretcher up to the roof without upsetting the balance. Think about that. The effort it takes. I remember when I was moving. And when we moved into a house in South Carolina, it had two stories. And we had to try to get a queen-size bed, solid wood frame, up to the second floor. It didn't go up flat like a bed. We had to turn that thing sideways. We had to take some of it apart. We had to get like four guys, right? And we had to push that thing, pull that thing, and it was crazy hard. It was tough. It took work. It took some sweat. But this bed is holding a man. You can't turn it sideways. You can't do it. You gotta work that thing. You can't change the world if you're not ready to work this thing. If all you want is comfortable Sunday morning Christianity, come to church and then go to work and you don't talk about Jesus, you don't live Jesus, you don't care about the people around you, you can't come back here Sunday morning and sing Let It Rain. It ain't gonna rain. God is eradicating self-centered Christianity in America. This Christianity that says it's all about me and my preference. I'm going to find a church that feeds my preference. I'm going to go where they have church the length I want it, sing the songs I want, and they preach what I want. God is getting rid of that kind of Christianity in America. He's looking for people that are going to say, I'm going to search you no matter what. I just want to find you. I don't care how uncomfortable that makes me. I don't care what I got to do. I don't care what I got to live. I'm going to give up my Thursday night to have dinner with Sister So-and-so that I work with because I can see the depression on her life and she just needs somebody to talk to. He's looking for that kind of people. And these four crazy friends, they took him up on the roof. And they said, I'm not stopping. The wall will not stand between me and God. The walls erected that keep Jesus away from me ain't gonna stop me. If I can't go through the door, I'll go through the window. If I can't go through the window, I'll go through the roof. Whatever it takes, if I can't go through the roof, I'll knock the walls down. But I'm tired of watching my friends paralyzed in their circumstance. And if I gotta go through a wall, through a roof to get them there, I'm gonna get them there. I will leave no man behind. Some of you need to be one of the four crazy friends to the man in the mirror. And you just got to get some guts to pull yourself up. If nobody else is going to be your friend, you and Jesus, pull yourself up. Get yourself together. Get up on the roof. Sweat a little bit. Dig deep down in the morning. It never tells you why this man was paralyzed. You notice that? It never tells you. It just says he's paralyzed. We're so good at analyzing everybody else's problems and issues and why they ended up the way they are. Some of you won't reach out to the people around you because you actually think that you're in the place to pass judgment on how they got there. Well, it's their own fault. They lost everything. Well, it ain't my fault they feel that way. I told them to stop putting down that beer. It ain't my fault. Well, they used to come to church, but they just stopped. That's their problem. And we make it our problem. It didn't tell you why this man was paralyzed. All that matters is this man was paralyzed and he needed to be set free. And God is looking for people who are willing to leave the mob mentality of religious Christianity and do whatever it takes to connect the broken to Jesus. You got to leave the mob mentality. You know, at God's house, we're trying to leave the mob mentality of religious Christianity. And just say, what if we just ran after God with all of our heart? What if we actually started to live out the things that Jesus talked about? So they get up to the roof. And the Bible says they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. If you want to get to Jesus, you got to do two things. You got to uncover. You got to be willing to uncover some of the things you keep covered up. And then you got to break through. You got to be willing. You got to be willing to be vulnerable enough. There are things that you keep covered up inside of you that you keep hidden from the rest of the world. Some of the hurt, some of the pain, some of the things you hold on to. And he says you got to uncover those things. And be willing to be a little bit vulnerable. And that word for uncover in the Greek is apostegazo. You have to take my word for it. If you have a smartphone, I would strongly suggest you get in a little app called Blue Letter Bible. And it allows you to actually go and pull up scripture. And then you can press on it. And it'll show you the Greek for it. And you can press on one of the words. And then it'll show you what it means and everything. And you don't have to learn Greek to be able to read the Bible in its language. But sometimes there's things that are lost in translation. And that word uncover, apostegazo, is from two root words. The first one means to separate, and the second one means you're covering. You got to separate yourself a little bit. Some of you, God is calling you out to be a little crazy. You know what he's got to do? He's got to separate you from the covering you've always been under. Some of you are just so satisfied. You're something's crying out to go deeper, but you just won't leave the comfort. You had a roof, and it was made up of panels. It was made up of panels. It had a frame, and then it had panels of clay or wood that went all the way across it. And then it was covered up on top. It was sealed with tar and clay to waterproof it. And then they would cover that with straw or thatch. And these men had to uncover that roof first before they could dig deep, before they could break through the roof itself. They had to uncover it, all the stuff, the straw and all that stuff that was on it, they had to uncover it first. You got to uncover it. You got a lot of stuff that's built up over the places of your heart that you feel most vulnerable that you cover up. And he's got to uncover it. You got to say, I'm gonna. But then it says when they had broken through, and that word broken through is exoruso. And exoruso is a great word. It means to dig through. You can't break through unless you're willing to dig through. You want breakthrough in your life, you gotta dig through. You gotta dig deep. There's a lot of wishful thinking in our lives where we want more out of life. We want more from God. But we're not willing to dig deep, dig through. But they weren't digging through. They weren't breaking through for themselves, were they? When they broke through for that man, that paralyzed, did you know that you can be the breakthrough for somebody else? You don't have to just be the breakthrough for your own life. You have it inside of you to be the breakthrough for somebody else. That you have the ability inside of you to be the breakthrough for the people at work. I don't think you get it. Because I think most of us in here in Christianity, we can't even break through for ourselves. So we can't fathom how it's possible that we can break through for somebody else. Some of you are waiting for God to break through things in somebody else's life. And God's looking at you saying, why don't you break through for them? But we go, no, God, that takes too much effort. No. But I got to pray for them. I'm not comfortable doing that. God wants you to dig deep. He wants you to break through for somebody else. But to do that, you're going to have to dig deeper than you dug in for you. You're going to have to get a little crazy. You're going to have to be a little eccentric. You're going to have to do things a little different. You're going to have to break through the traditional box and start thinking a little innovatively. You got to break through. You got to break past the fact that you got to give up a night when you can watch your favorite TV show and actually go invite somebody else out to dinner. You're going to have to actually pray in the spirit a little bit. You're going to actually have to seek God some. You're going to actually have to put away some of your own party time and get on some Jesus time. You're going to have to actually care and love about somebody else. God's looking for some crazy folk. Is there some crazy folk in here? Is there some crazy folk that say it doesn't matter? I know it doesn't matter how they've seen me my whole life. I'm just crazy about Jesus and I'm crazy about you. Man, y'all looking at me like I'm speaking French. Is there some crazy folk in here? I don't want to hear you're crazy during worship. I want to hear you're crazy when it comes to people. So they break through. They break through. You know why your worship is so important? You might stand there and go, I don't see what's the big deal. You never know how your worship might break through for the person next to you. Amen. That you created an atmosphere. That's why when people are being ministered to at the altar at God's house, we tell you there's no such thing as a spectator. You're all participants. I don't care if you're standing there and people are praying for people at the altar. If all you can do is to stand up and sing or pray or just put your hands forward, do that. Because you never know when your prayer, your worship, your song is the breakthrough for the person that's standing there. When they broke through. See, this is a culture shift. It's a culture. We got to break through. Some of you, we're so conditioned that when people are being praised at the altar, we sit down and we check out. Because we're conditioned that way. And God has to change us in the way we think about him and the way we think about church before he'll ever change anything out there. And I will do whatever it takes. To be the four crazy friends to every person out there. But when they broke through, the Bible says Jesus saw their faith. Their breakthrough, their effort, their faith, their craziness. And then he looks at the paralyzed man and says, your sins are forgiven you. And the Pharisees and scribes correctly said, who is this man blaspheming? Because only God can forgive sins. And Jesus knew what was in their hearts. And he said to them, what do you think is easier to say? You're tripping out because I said your sins are forgiven you. But anybody can say that. You can't see what's inside of them, so I can say your sins are forgiven you. And look, I'm not putting myself out on a limb. For all you know, maybe it did or maybe it didn't. So he's saying, what, you think that's the hard thing? Oh, you think that's something? Well, let me show you. You say, who's this guy that thinks he can forgive sins? Well, just to show you that I'm not just a man, that I'm God. That I'm not just telling you how to get out of your situation. I have the power to set you free. I'm going to do the hard thing. Because if he says, arise and walk, and the man doesn't get up and walk, see, that's putting yourself out on a limb. So he said, just to show you, arise, pick up your bed, and walk. And immediately the man picked up his bed and began to walk. The proof of this man's healing, and what Jesus Christ did in his life. The thing that was undisputable was that this man walked out carrying the thing that had carried him in. The thing that he relied on to carry him through life. The thing that was his crutch. Was the very thing he walked out carrying. He says, I don't need you to carry me anymore. I can carry you. See, some of you have been paralyzed in your life. You live paralyzed. Feel like you're not going anywhere. Maybe you've gone to church your whole life. Maybe you don't know Christ. It doesn't matter. Paralysis doesn't really care what religion you are, how old you are, what nationality you are. You feel paralyzed. And so you rely on crutches, relationships, things, food, TV. Whatever it is. It's been carrying you this whole time. And it might get you somewhere. You might feel like you're moving a little bit. But in the end, you're still paralyzed. You still can't go anywhere. You still can't move. And you can't encounter the crowd. And be free from that. You have to encounter Jesus. Did you know there's a difference between freedom and liberty? There's a difference. There's a difference. They're not even the same word. There's a difference between freedom and living. Freedom is the state of no longer being bound. Look it up. Go download Blue Letter Bible. It's the state of no longer being bound. It's a legal term. Liberty means to be the fullness of freedom. That means I'm not just legally free. I'm living in it. When Jesus said, your sins are forgiven, he said, you're free. But then he said, get up and walk, take out your bed, because that's liberty. Everybody stand up with me. Jesus never meant for you to live in a state of freedom and not being able to walk in liberty. If you've been sitting in a jail cell and they set you free, they unlock that door and open it up and they say you're free. You're free that moment that door opens. But you can choose to sit in there and be in the state of freedom and never live in the liberty of it. It's not till you actually walk out and begin to experience the benefit of that freedom that now you're living in liberty. And Jesus wants you, God wants you to live in liberty. Because when you walk in liberty, that means you're free to be four crazy friends.